The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
Today's interview is about a story initially covered by journalist Angela Sterrett at the CBC earlier this month about the displacement of four Indigenous healthcare workers from St. Paul's Hospital. The four healthcare professionals served on the Indigenous health team. They learned that their roles were being dissolved in mid-November. This change in their employment status took place during the period of the province-wide investigation into racism in BC's healthcare system. Shortly after the four unionized healthcare professionals learned that their roles were being dissolved, job postings for Indigenous wellness liaisons were posted on the careers page for St. Paul's Hospital. These new roles are non-unionized and require a bachelor's degree in social work. I talked to three of the four healthcare professionals who had their jobs dissolved. After the interview, I also share what I learned from a spokesperson from Providence Healthcare, the organization that runs St. Paul's Hospital. Here is my conversation with a few of the former members of St. Paul's Indigenous Health Team. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Miskwainamiki Ikwe, Noda Nozawa Wabigan Budadin, and Lavida Trimble, First Breath After the Rainstorm. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
If you could introduce yourself and tell us about what role you played on the Indigenous Health Service team and how long you were there for.
Bonjour, Miskwa, Anamiki, Ikwe, Nindishnikas. I just said hello and shared my traditional name, which is Red Thunderbird Woman in Anishinaabe Mohan. That was my grandmother's name. And my other name is Rose McDonald. So you can just refer to me as Rose throughout if you like. I was an Indigenous health and wellness worker at St. Paul's Hospital for 2 years.
Thank you. Maybe I'll pass it over to Rebecca.
Bonjour, Noda Nozawa Biguan Budadan Indishnikas. I'm Anishinaabe and Dakota and of mixed ancestry. My mom's Dutch, my dad's mixed. And I just wanted to acknowledge the unceded ancestral and very occupied lands of the Coast people that I reside on. And I have a lot of gratefulness in my heart for the people of this land. I was, I don't really know what term to use, but I was an Indigenous health worker on the team.
Thank you, Rebecca. Lavida?
Emma Silkfa, Lavida Trimble, Huat Simliski, Gni, Wilkwakans, E, Nishka Nation. Good afternoon. My name is Lavida Trimble. I am of the Eagle Tribe, the House of Gorkans of the Nishka Nation. I also carry the spirit name, First Breath After the Rainstorm. And my traditional name is Amawil, which means good with money, rich in life. I was previously a health worker, an Indigenous health worker with Providence Health at St. Paul's Hospital, providing support services, ceremonial, and traditional practices to patients.
Thank you, Lavida. Can I ask one of you to share with us, what did it mean to hold the role of Indigenous health worker at St. Paul's? What did you do on a day-to-day basis?
Here's Rose.
Supporting our relatives when they come into hospital and their families. And because we know our community, right? Like, we're very in touch with our community. So it's, we treat them like they're family members when they come in, you know, providing that mental, spiritual, emotional, physical support within that medicine wheel of Indigenous health, providing that cultural support too, like, you know, smudging at bedside or, you know, singing some song medicine or saying a prayer or, you know, giving traditional medicines. You know, that were ordered in and blanketing people. We'd welcome them with a blanketing ceremony so that, you know, you'd help that transition of coming into hospital because, you know, a lot of our patients, you know, survived a residential school and those institutional-like places are reminiscent of those type of systematic structures.
Here's Lavida.
The ceremonial work that was done, like the end-of-life ceremonies, had a huge impact to bring song medicine and prayer with families in a way that they were accustomed to at home in their homelands or wherever they come from. a lot of the times we were working with people that were affected by not only residential school, but the Indian Hospital and the 60 Scoop as well, where my first patient turned out to be my relative. He was taken in the 60 Scoop, so to actually find that connection in a city, that was nice for him. So we've been connecting and getting him involved in culture and in community. It's really meaningful to some of the patients that we work with, especially the ones that aren't even connected to their families. It was like we were their family. You know, there was a patient that recently passed a few months ago, and she spent the last 3 months of her life in that hospital, and she was so happy when we would come and visit her. She's like, oh, my favorite people. Just because we made her feel comfortable and we listened to her, and she just needed to be heard.
Here's Rebecca.
I would feel comfortable saying that we all didn't feel like it was work. It was just beautiful to be able to witness and to support and to create that safety that is so needed in the healthcare setting. Countless people have, you know, reiterated that back to us. This saved my life, you know, having access to our traditional medicines and cultural practices and elders. And it is vital, exactly what Rose said. It's very vital in the hospital setting. One of our favorite elder, Roberta Price, says, we read hearts, not charts. It's not a matter of Western education. I believe that that sort of distracts us from the true meaningful work behind this, and that's through our hearts in connecting and welcoming our relatives into that setting.
Thanks, Rebecca. I'd love to hear more about your thoughts on that new Bachelor's of Social Work requirement. After the three of you received notice about the change in your employment status, new job postings for Indigenous wellness liaison positions went up on the Providence careers page. And one of the new requirements for this role is a bachelor's degree in social work. And that requirement prevents the three of you from applying for the new role. One thought I've heard is that it might be better for people who hold the position of Indigenous Wellness Liaison to have both a bachelor's degree in social work and lived experience, because that would potentially provide better healthcare support for Indigenous patients. What do you make of that? This is Rose again.
It's a very colonizing thing to do, to say, you require this Western colonized version of education. I have 13 years. This learned knowledge is something that you cannot acquire with a BSW.
And here's Rebecca.
I was reading through the job description, and we do everything in that job description and more already. Requiring a degree to do that work, it really is just a very colonial slap in the face. We all have various degrees of Western education, not that it matters and not that it should be a point that matters.
And here's Levita.
Especially the social workers that are in the hospital, they really valued us because we were together great as a team. We helped them, they helped us. It was like they just brushed it off as if it wasn't valuable, just like the way Western practices came in and brushed the Indigenous practices under the rug like it wasn't important. This young lady that was accessing our services, she's not in good health at all. And she told me that the staff had advised her, we only have one Indigenous health worker right now. It might take some time for them to come see you. And then they later return to tell you this, but the service is no longer available. So she was really saddened that she couldn't get a smudge in during her health care at a time where she's so vulnerable. She needed to calm her nerves or get the support that she needed at the time.
Can I ask if management ever told you that your work performance was inadequate? Here's Rose.
Nothing like that at all.
And I believe you were offered bumping rights, or the right to replace a less senior employee in another role. Tell me about that. Here's Rose.
When I looked at my email displacement papers and my bump list of positions that I could go into, all of those positions have nothing to do with what I was doing before. Nothing. It could be a porter or a like receptionist or something like that. And it was insulting. I couldn't step on another human being in order to propel myself to something more hierarchical, as in a position.
Here's LaVita.
It is really disrespectful, because then you'd be putting someone else in a world of chaos while, you know, you bump them. And that's not a part of our culture. That's not who we are. We don't do that kind of acts.
Here's Rebecca.
That plays into the tier of hierarchy and colonial systems. Yes. It doesn't align with my beliefs at all, besides the fact that the jobs are completely inappropriate on the bump list. Like, absolutely nothing to do with what we do.
Can I ask what your plans are from now moving forward? Here's Rose.
I've made a request for a talking circle instead of these meetings that have been happening one after another. We have a traditional talking circle. All of these people that we were wishing or hoping to come to this circle and supported elders and knowledge keepers that would come with us. And traditionally, this is how we work things out and, you know, have everyone be heard and supported in that, you know, traditional indigenous way. And so I put that request forward to, you know, the CEO and HR and union and our employer, and in an email. And I'm hoping to hear back from them, especially with this Mary Ellen Chappell report that comes out. Then come sit in a talking circle with us then, right? Do this as an act of good faith.
Here's LaVita.
Yeah, I was just going to say I was in agreement with the talking circle, because then, you know, that way everybody's heard.
Here's Rebecca.
You know, it's an inherent right to have our cultural practices and beliefs accepted and integrated into this system. Unfortunately, the system was built along with racism, and the system does not support us or our beliefs. And there needs to be a change in the whole system. It's a big picture. That's what needs to change in healthcare. It's these little bandages that are offered. 'Cause if you look at it, you know, if we're looking at the hierarchical system, that colonial system, and they're putting in 5 Indigenous liaisons, we're at the bottom of the ladder, so to speak. If there's no support going up, how are you expected to create change at the bottom of the ladder? Because in hierarchy, you need power to create change. And none of those are in my own personal values. Like, none of that idea of hierarchy belongs to me at all. So I can't align myself with that. It's difficult to rub up against that every single day. It's exhausting, and there's absolutely no support for us, or for me. I can speak for myself. So there needs to be a really, really big change, and I'm praying for that. I'm trying to do everything I can to help create that, help put that forward. I hope that change actually does happen, because, you know, the first people of this land deserve to have beautiful, welcoming, loving, and caring healthcare.
And that was my interview with Rose McDonald, Rebecca Hatch, and LaVita Trimble. I spoke to Providence Healthcare, the organization that operates St. Paul's Hospital. Here's what a spokesperson told me. I've also added information from the statement Providence Healthcare released online about its Indigenous health program. Providence has said that it is not dissolving its Indigenous health team. Providence stated in its statement that it is, in fact, quote, enhancing and investing additional funds in the Indigenous health program and services. This includes doubling the Indigenous health support staffing on the team, In response to the ongoing investigation into anti-Indigenous racism in BC healthcare and the immediate recommended actions from the Ministry of Health to advance Indigenous cultural safety and humility within health services, we at Providence are working hard to take action following these recommendations and uphold the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada 94 calls to action. A critical part of this means making positive changes and working to enhance and align our services with the rest of the province, end quote. A spokesperson at Providence told me that he cannot comment on internal issues that affect specific staff. What he can say is that Providence restructured its Indigenous health program and that Providence is undergoing a formal HR process as a part of this restructuring. This HR process, he said, includes communication with the union. He emphasized that the restructuring is part of additional investment from Providence into its Indigenous health program. The spokesperson told me that each job posting is reviewed by its HR department, and they look at what the patient's needs are and what competencies and education the healthcare professionals require. This is a formalized HR process, he said, that every HR department in every BC healthcare organization follows. The spokesperson added that Providence is at the very beginning of its journey to reconciliation, and it has lots more to do. He said that Providence is committed to adding more people and more dollars to make its workforce more reflective of BC. When asked about why the new roles are non-unionized, the spokesperson said that decision was made in accordance to the organization's HR processes. The decision, he said, was also guided by collective bargaining agreements and Health Employer Association of BC guidelines. And that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. This is The Pulse on CFRO Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Mei Si. As always, please tell us what you think of the show. I'm at Meixi at coopradio.org. That's M-E-I-X-I at coopradio.org. Thank you. Take care.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.